sing praises to you. Thank you for your word, that you can be our teacher. And Lord, so we just give this time to you. And I just pray you'd open each heart to receive from your word. And Lord, just anoint me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit that I can just speak truth. And clearly anoint me that, and anoint my words and each heart to be open to receive. So I thank you for this morning. And I thank you for, you know, the time to worship together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We're going to look this morning at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. The title of the message is Lessons, the Lessons of Life, which really, the title to this message, but also it could be a title for the whole book. I mean, it really is lessons to life. Now, you can say, well, the whole Bible is lessons to life. Well, true. But there's some emphasis, there are points that are covered, and they have different themes. But so for me, I think this is more of a compact, like lessons of life, you know, how God's working and how he's interacting with us and how he works through us. And, you know, it's kind of the combination of, you know, how we can walk with God. Wood showed me a picture that he's going to put that for the 2 Corinthians, and he has our hands holding up, God holding our hand. There's a lot of truth to this is where the book is. Now, 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, all the books, there's a reason that they're written, you know. So 1 Corinthians, which is fascinating, someday we may do that, but it really is a book of corrections. And I'm not going to say Paul's ticked off, but he's not happy with the folks. He established a church at Corinth, and we could relate well with the church at Corinth. You know, Ashburn could relate well, Loudoun County, because Corinth was totally corrupt. I don't know, I found that humorous. But it was, so like Loudoun, we say it's totally corrupt. Okay, this is a great book for us. Because the Corinthians, he established this church, 1 Corinthians, this correction. Say, good grief, get your act, what are you doing? You kind of a book. Now this one is the second letter he wrote to that same church. And so he's spinning off the first letter, and he said, listen, this is how you walk with God. This is how you see him. This is how the interaction, how we work together. And so you need to understand the fullness of God. Okay, so here we are, 2 Corinthians, and it's like, what is he telling us? What God's doing, what he's doing with us, and how we operate together and to live out this Christian life. So that's my assessment here, and it is the lessons of life. So to start off here with 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And actually, this is going to be the first part of verse 4 here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. So he's talking to this Corinthian church he established. He goes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. All God's people said, amen. Amen. See, as believers, we have the promise that God, we have the promise of God that he will personally comfort us. This is something that's happening in all our afflictions. Bottom line, we're not alone. We may feel alone, but we're not alone. God is present with every step of the way. He's here. He's with us. And so he's reinforcing this to the people. Very fascinating. And you know, it's like it says in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, it's in verses 5 through 6, it says this. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's telling the people, he's I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. And see, all of the combinations, you see, I'm not afraid. Why? Because God is my helper. Well, there's a lot of things to be afraid of. I know, but God is my helper. Well, what about, I know, but God is my helper. He put me here. He is going to comfort me, and he is going to protect me. And he is my helper. And it's very interesting. I don't know if you think about it often, but the word that you say, oh, God is majestic. He is. But he said, no, he's your helper. See, he's your helper to help you help us in this life. And so that's in Hebrews we see that. And we also see that this quote, this particular quote, is from the Old Testament in Psalms 118, verse 7. And it says this. Just think about it. In your situation, okay, just think about this. Psalms 118, verse 7. The Lord is on my side as my helper. How am I going to get through this? Well, the Lord is on your side, and he is your helper. That's how you get through it. That's how you get. But, you know, he's telling. I mean, that's who he is. That's what he's doing. But he's trying to convince us that's who he is. He's trying to convince us. He's trying to convince us when in the depths of just, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. I'm your helper. I'm your helper. You're going to get through this just fine because you know I'm your helper. So we find courage and strength, but we have to believe what he just told us. We have to believe what he told us. Now, so we see the majesty. I mean, we think, I'll speak for myself. I mean, I don't have a problem like with the majesty of God. You know, in fact, I can just kind of go in my office and shut the door and just think about the majesty of God until Linda tells me to mow the lawn. I thought, all right, I got to pause from the majesty and go mow the lawn, you know. But that's not how God works, you know. He's, yeah, there's the majesty of God, but what? I'm your helper in this situation to do what you need to do. Oh, God goes before me. Yeah, no, but listen to me. I'm your helper. That's what this verse said. It puts a distinct, like, we're not by ourselves. He's telling us we're not by ourselves. And so he goes, don't be afraid. Why? He tells him, tell somebody, don't be afraid, and just walk off. No. He's telling us, don't be afraid, because God is your helper. What do you have to be afraid of? And it goes on in Psalms, it goes, what can man do to you? I mean, well, I got a lot of things what man could do to me. He goes, no. What can man? I'm your helper. I'm on your side. No. So we're supposed to walk in the reality of a whole different realm, and God is trying to communicate that to us by telling who he is here. And again, in Psalms, we see where he communicates, you know, just this love and compassion and work within us of who he is and who we are. So when afflicted and brokenhearted, and that's a good word, brokenhearted. You know, how many of us had the privilege of just being brokenhearted? You know, it's just brokenhearted. See, God relates to that. He relates to that. In fact, there's a verse that says, I'm close to the brokenhearted. Why? Because I'm their helper. I'm on their side. So when afflicted and brokenhearted, we cry out to God, and he comforts us. In our time of trouble, he is our helper. We're in a whole different world here. Whole different. That he is very aware of. Who's not aware of it? Us. See? And he's, no, I got to show you. I'm telling you, and I'll show you, you know, so you can live out this life in power with my comfort, with my comfort. There's no overhead for this, but so you can just listen to me. In Psalms, listen to me as I read this. In Psalms 34, verses 17 through 19, and you should write that down. It's a great psalm. Psalms 34, verses 17 through 19. He expresses this of who he is and who we are and how our relationship. And it says this in verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them in all their troubles. Okay. Now think about it. I mean, think of what's said. Don't just blow past this. When the righteous cry for help, who are the righteous? The church. It's the church, those who have trusted Christ. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. I'm on your side. I'm your helper. Verse 18 goes and says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And brokenhearted, that's the closest you'll ever be probably to Jesus when you're brokenhearted, because he's coming there, because he knows you're brokenhearted. See? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I've even said it before, but it's like when someone comes to me and I really feel they're really brokenhearted, you know, I feel like, okay, this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Why? Because they're brokenhearted and God's with them. And I don't want to mess up what God's doing. So I'm cautious as I speak to the brokenhearted, because God's close to them. That's why it says here, because that's how he works with his people. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He didn't say, there will be no afflictions. Now, when I came to know Jesus, I kind of thought that. Oh, you come to know Jesus, and no afflictions. Everybody love me, I love everybody else, and no afflictions. None of those things I just said were true. You know, God goes, I got to teach you some things. You don't understand the dynamic of what's happening here. You don't understand what's going on, because you're going to have many afflictions, but he will deliver you from them all. Okay. Why? He's on our side. He's on our side. So that's how we function in this world. He's on our side. And, you know, I can't help it. Rag on Loudoun County. I mean, there's certainly worse places to live. But think, what's everything's going to pot. God, what are you going to do? He says, don't worry about it. I'm on your side. But there's no but. I'm on your side. All right. Since you're on my side, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to move forward in confidence. Why? Because nothing's wrong? No, because you're on my side. Now, that's what this is saying. This is what this is saying. And he's trying to convince us. Now, right here, there's a transition. And based on verse 19 in Psalms, it could be the end of the message. You know, we could end the message for today. Everybody get an early lunch, okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of them all. I mean, you can't go past that. You can't get better than that, all right? Amen. I mean, we could end the message. We could just rest in that truth and persevere. Wouldn't that be a good message? Great. We got like 30 more minutes to go. Okay. But listen to what the Lord says. Very interesting. See, the God of the universe, what we know now, what we see now at the scripture, the God of the universe is concerned about us. He's on our side. He's concerned about us. And he is standing with us. He's on our side. Amen. Amen. However, okay, however, as a comforting, as this promise is, and it is comforting, it is a promise, it's not diluted. It's comforting as this promise is, there's another reason the Lord comforts us. It's a full promise. I mean, if you're like me, I say, okay, I'm good with half the promise. He'll take care of me and comfort me, so I'm just good with that, you know. But then God goes, no, that's not the full promise. Here's the full promise. Yeah, I will comfort you, but I'm going to do something else. Y'all want to hear it? Okay, because let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Same verse, we're going back. I'm just going to complete reading the whole thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Now you need to pay very close attention to what's said. He is on our side, and He will comfort us. Chapter 1, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians. God comforts us in all our affliction, so that in your Bible, in your iPad, whatever it is, circle so that. That's a big, big two words in this, so that, okay? God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God, I'm good with you comforting me. You know, you just take care of the other folk and let them take care of their own issues. You know, I mean, I'm having enough trouble myself trying to worry about comforting everybody else. You go, well, no, he says, you don't understand, Wallace. The reason I comfort you so that you could comfort others. Why? See, notice the words so that so jump out here. God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction in the church. It's full of afflicted people who have been comforted. And God has comforted them and taught them how to comfort others around them. And becomes a loving church. A loving, compassionate church. God teaches them. Teaches us. So what we see here, God used. Now here's the other piece of this, the so that, okay? Come on. You're in a mess, and I'm going to comfort you. So that God uses affliction to train believers to comfort others in affliction. Yeah, I'll comfort you. But I'm going to teach you, in this affliction, I'm going to teach you to comfort others. How? I'm going to comfort you. And what I comfort you with, you're going to know what I did and how I did it. And I'm going to equip you and train you so you can comfort others. See, that's how God works. Oh, I get my church. I work with them, you know. I work with all of them. I'm going to work with everybody. So what this means is that our own afflictions, and we're putting all this together, okay? We're hallelujah in comfort, okay? Hallelujah. But what this also means, this means that our own afflictions have a God-given purpose. Y'all with me? I'm into comfort. Y'all with me? Are we into comfort? And God says, I'll comfort. So I'm all into comfort. But God says, but also, got to know that the affliction that you came through, that I comfort you in that affliction had God's purpose all over it. God was all over the affliction that came upon you. This means our own affliction has a God-given purpose. God, take it away. He says, I'm not done yet. This is not fair. This is not right. See, there's no good coming out of this. What good could ever come out of this? See, God wants to use us to comfort others. Here's the truth. You know, when I first came to know the Lord, oh, God, use me to comfort others. He said, I'd like to, but just not going to happen with you. You're just not there. That's what he would have said to me. See, And why he would say that, because we can't adequately comfort anyone unless we have experienced comfort during our own affliction. I can only use what I know. I can only comfort of the comfort I receive that I know to give to you. If I have anything to give to you, it's because God already gave it to me. And he gave it to me by comforting me through my own affliction, tailored for me to train me so he could comfort me so I could comfort others. See how that works? Like I said, lessons of life. It's a book, well, the truth of God and lessons of life. He goes, now this is how I'm working. This is how it works. God, I love you. I come through my sins now to the cross. And I want to be happy forever and no one irritate me. God goes, I don't work that way. I don't work that way. That's not how I work. But I'm going to teach you how I work. Lord, just give me a pamphlet and I read it. He goes, no, there's no pamphlets here. I'll have to do something to you. I'll have to do something to you, tailor-made for you, that you don't understand. And there's no one that you can receive any comfort from but me. And when you receive that comfort from me and able to walk through this affliction, you'll be equipped to help others going through that same affliction so they can walk through it because you've been there. And you know what else? The people around you know you've been there. Been there. Okay? That's the reason I always joke about this, but it's the truth. That's the reason, you know, you just people that don't have kids shouldn't be telling people with kids what to do. You know, what? No, you believe somebody's got some kids that they've raised, even if they turn out to be terrible. It's like, well, they've learned from their mistakes. Okay, anyway, you learn, okay? But that's a combination. But this is what he's saying here. I mean, this is so profound. So I'm going to read this again. We can't adequately comfort anyone unless we have experienced comfort during our own affliction. Amen? This should be a prerequisite for any pastor. Let me tell you, I graduated from seminary, and I know the Bible backwards and forward, and I'm going to preach. That's good academically, but don't ever go to him for any comfort. Don't. I mean, you can, but he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. Now, so, but when you look at this, and all of, but not what we learned in Psalms when we read this, who's afflicted? Everybody. Everybody. See, I mean, the afflictions are coming, and it's like, but the meeting point is with us as we cry out to God, and he comforts us. So here we have, it's coming. It's us, and then we interact with him, and there's a working now between myself and God, between yourself and God, where you're receiving that comfort from him. And then he says, I will comfort you, because what? I'm on your side. God, it doesn't feel like you're on my side. No, I'm on your side. See, I'm on your side. Don't be afraid. I'm on your side. And it's like, you know, verse 19 of Psalms 118, he goes, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Come on, what'd we do? What'd we do? Many are afflictions. I mean, I'm righteous. Yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, no, why don't you just afflict people that don't love you? He says, no, I'm working with you. I'm not working with them. I'm working with you. So this whole growing activity. So what do we know? This means that God is actively and personally involved in our own painful afflictions. And I put, when I was writing this out, God is involved, you know, personally involved in our own painful afflictions. The first thing I put, I said, well, in our afflictions. And I'm thinking, well, no, it's more than that. It's painful afflictions. No, it's tough stuff. And I thought, well, I'm going to put devastating afflictions. And I thought, well, that's true, but maybe it's not true for him. That's kind of heavy. And I thought, okay, God, I'm going to use painful instead of devastating, you know. But what I'm thinking, but he also will use devastating situations. I mean, you know, maybe you've gone through, but you go, God, this is just not fair. This is not fair. And he goes, no, I'm teaching you. I'm training you. For what? For what? And here's the thing, what he says right here. He goes, to help my people. That's why. To help my people. Now, so when we see this picture, we go, and then he puts a verse in here. When I first read it, it goes, this doesn't quite fit. Now, you've heard me say before what happens to me when I see a verse, and I say it doesn't quite fit. I've told you before. That means it's the most important verse in this whole section, and I don't understand it. That's all that means. I said, this doesn't fit. You go, well, he doesn't have a clue what that means. That's the reason he didn't understand it. Well, this is one of them. Because it doesn't seem right to me in the flow. The flow's not there with this verse. And what it is here, he tells us this whole thing, when we see this affliction and being able to receive comfort and comfort others, Christ in his life, now we're switching, he said, in this section, Christ in his life experienced our pain. Now there's verses that say that, that say that, you know, well, no, and I'm not talking about on the cross, I'm talking of which he did on the cross, but I'm talking about through life. Christ in his life experienced our pain, and in a human sense, having felt our pain, and being comforted, he is able to abundantly comfort us. Now we would go, now if I was an unafflicted pastor, that's been to seminary, but told unafflicted, you know, I could make a good argument. Now you can't say that Jesus was afflicted, and because he's afflicted, he can comfort us. Now, here's the theological reasons why that doesn't work. Well, the first theological reasons where it's true is because the Bible tells us that. So, the Bible says that Jesus, he understands he was made like us, and he suffered like us. Why? What'd he do? You know what Jesus, no, he suffered like us. But what he did, he identified with us as a man. He identified with us as a man. And he suffered the pain. It's not a theological deal with Jesus. It's like, okay, now I'm in heaven, these people are on earth, and theologically I understand because I'm God how they feel. That's not what he did. He became one of us, and he felt our pain. And as he felt our pain, God comforted him. Therefore, it qualifies him to, when we hurt, it qualifies him to comfort us because he knows and he's felt our hurt. See, that's what Jesus did. It's in the scripture. So here's this verse that doesn't fit. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, what's that? What are Christ's? It's not sufferings on the cross. He's the only one to do the cross. As we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, just living life, going through the pains of life. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort. Two, he suffered, his sufferings, we suffered, he received comfort, And we receive the same comfort he received in this life. In this life. I always think the mind comes to Jesus with what suffering looks like. It's so interesting. When Judas came, and Jesus was in the garden, and Jesus came to him when he betrayed him. He came up to him and kissed him. Judas kissed him. And what Jesus said, he goes, "Friend, friend, what have you done this for?" Can you imagine the pain in that? That was the interaction. Judas kissed him, and Jesus called him friend. He said, "Friend." See, and so what I'm saying, it's like, well, no one theologically is up there. God's in heaven, and he got there, and because I was God, I could call him friend. Because, no, that was a human. There was a human interaction. There's a human connection. And Jesus knows in his heart the depths of betrayal. He felt it. He experienced it. See, and you go through the Psalms. There's several places in the book of Psalms talk about it. There's one that quotes Jesus. He goes, "If it would have been my enemy, I could have bore it. But it was my friend." That's what it made it unbearable. See, there's a connection. There's a feeling. And what God is telling us, God said, "I'm on your side. Don't be afraid. I'm on your side. I know your pain. I have felt in it in my very being as a man. And I felt as a being as a man as I indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked as a man on this earth." So here's that whole dynamic. So when you look at it like that, well, this is a perfect place to put that verse. Isn't God wise, you know? It's like, well, if you know, with me, you can see the flow of what I'm trying to do here. And then you can see the depth of what I'm trying to teach you. The depth of what I'm trying to teach you. Jesus identifies with us and comforts us. Now, there's verses that, well, including this one, where it talks about that, where Jesus identifies with us. I think that's one reason Jesus was baptized. Have you ever wondered why Jesus goes to John the Baptist and he's baptized? You know? I mean, whose sins was he baptized for? What sins would he do that for? He could do that. Hey, I don't get this. I can just skip this. You know? Right? Why was Jesus baptized? There is no reason in the world why he'd be baptized. Oh, now I'm going to commit to Jesus, to God. You been committed. Why? You know what baptism, one of the real things behind baptism, he identified. He was baptized so he identified with us. He identified and he came up and so he identified with us, just like us. Just like us. See, Jesus identifies with us. That's one reason he came, is one of the reasons he came as a man. He identified us, felt our pain, walked with us. And it says, you know, he says he experienced sin and he never sinned. See, he knew. He knew. He actually, you know what he pulled off? Actually, well, this is what Jesus pulled off. He pulled off being a man and walking without sin. You know what man was supposed to do when God created him? Be a man and walk without sin. Well, we mess that up. And so one of the reasons Jesus came to say, now look, this is what it looks like. He's a man and he's without sin. And he lives as a man is supposed to live. You were always supposed to live this way. And we see it in Jesus. He identified with us. He identified with us. So here we are. Jesus identifies with us and comforts us, but also he wants... I'll just read this. Jesus identifies with us and comforts us, but also he wants us to be able to identify with others and comfort them. You see why? Oh, they come in, whatever, you know, whatever, this person goes through, whatever, you know, I got to put up with so-and-so, and really aggravating, whatever, you know, and all these people got to get together in this church. He goes, what are you doing? There are people hurting, and you should be able to step up and walk with these people because you know what the pain they're going through. Why do you know the pain? Because you've gone through the pain. There's a very, I wasn't going to jump on this one, but anyway, it says in verse 4, it says something very interesting. It says that God comforts us in all our affliction so that we can comfort others in any affliction. Now, you know why he said that? He's going to comfort us in any affliction. But anyway, okay, so I have XYZ problem, and he comforts me, oh my goodness, and I come over here and I can comfort somebody else with XYZ problem. But you know what also is there? Because he comforted me in my pain, that he also will use me to comfort others in pain. Pain is pain. I don't care if it calls this way, this way, this way. Pain is pain, and you recognize the pain. May not recognize the situation, but you recognize the pain. And you see it, and you can comfort. Why? Because he comforts you. And usually people will know that you have some comfort to share because of what God has already done in your life by comforting your pain. Not what you know. It's what you feel in the situation. Fascinating when you look at this. So, repeat, you know I'm great on repeating here. Jesus identifies with us and comforts us, but also he wants us to be able to identify with others. You've talked to people, haven't you? It's like, they don't care. They don't care you're talking to them. They don't want to talk to you. They're just pretending, and you can just feel it. Well, that's truth. God goes, that's not you. No, that's not you. You're going to feel that pain. Somebody shares something with you. Has anybody ever shared something with you and just moved you to tears because it hurt you so bad? And why does it hurt you? Because you hurt like that before. And you know they're hurting. See, this is what God says. So I'm making a minister out of my people. I'm making a minister out of my people. It's, Lord, therefore, we're going to look at our afflictions different from now on, brothers and sisters. Therefore, we see our afflictions as divine training from God. God, why? This is not right. Yeah, that's right. It's not right. And I'm going to comfort you, but there's something else. I'm training you because you'll be able to comfort others. And this thing that's totally uncalled for, something you had nothing to do with and being blamed for. He said, I'm going to comfort you through this, and I'll take you a place. Then you now can comfort others in that same situation. In reality, in care, and hurt with them with that when they hurt. So it's saying, so we see, this is divine training in afflictions. Now, so continuing on, 2 Corinthians, look at verse 6. Context is wonderful. You hear me say this all the time. Context is wonderful. They're put in a certain order divinely. Okay, let's hear at 2 Corinthians 1, 6. We're still in the point of being afflicted and being comforted. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it real personal now, but we make it personal to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 1, 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. You've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. Paul is afflicted. Okay, everything's going to hell in the handbasket. And the reason is, I'm being afflicted. It's for your comfort. Because as you comfort me and I come out of this, I'll be able to comfort others. It's for your benefit. I'm in a position where I can minister to you. Okay, let's go. If we are conflicted, it is for your comfort. And if we are comforted, it's for your comfort. Oh, God, comfort me. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Yep, but now there's a reason. Now you can comfort others, and you're supposed to comfort others because I taught you how to do it. You know how to do it. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endured the same sufferings we suffered. God is building a whole ministry within the church. Church is way different. Whole ministry. Life's afflictions are used by God to equip us to be able to comfort others in the same way God comforted us. You see that? What is this? He goes, I care for these people. I care for these people. And Wallace, I got you here in this situation, and you're going to need to comfort them just like I comforted you. In fact, that's the reason I have you here. And that's the reason you were afflicted. And that's the reason you suffered the pain, so you could receive the comfort, so you can comfort them. Now do it. Do it. See, remember when I saved? Oh, I am saved with sins nailed to the cross, and I'll be happy. I like everybody. Everybody likes me, and I have no problems. God goes, maybe not. maybe not. So, listen to this. Now this one, this is a truth. I mean, I just know it's the truth. I think you'll know it's the truth. But it's like, it's a hard truth. It's a hard truth. We live in a hard world, and things go through, and terrible things happen to people. And I mean, this is a hard truth. And it's like, you know, I just said, life's afflictions are used by God to equip us to be able to comfort others the same way God comforted us. And listen to this. And it's so true. You know it's true. The greater intensity of our affliction, the greater comfort we receive. Thus, the greater capacity for us to comfort others. How can I have people going through such trauma? How can I help them? Who can help them? Someone who's been hurt as bad as they've been hurt. That person can help them. That's what it's saying. It's like, you know, I'm on your side. I am on your side. Don't be afraid. And this is extreme pain. But I'm equipping you to be able to help people that no one else can help. And I'm going to teach you how to do that by the affliction you go through. And I will comfort you in that extreme affliction. And you can comfort others going through extreme affliction. This God said, I'm just lessons of life, just telling you how I'm working. And again, it's not like you look at these verses and say, oh, he's creating this. No, this is happening. Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know what's happening. It's already happening. It's already happening. See? So, and notice the intent. Now, so Paul understands this. Now, based on what I said, Paul totally understands this. Why? Because he's being comforted. And he has been devastated. He has been afflicted beyond measure. And therefore, he has a capacity to minister to those who've been afflicted. Right? Listen to it. He says it right here. Paul says, for we do not want, this is 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired even of life. Paul, the picture of virtue and maturity, suffered affliction so intense that he wished he were dead. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. See, it's like he has some credibility because of what he afflicted, and he was brought out of it by God. He has credibility. So God said, I'll give you credibility. I told you this friend of mine, I shared this before. Love this guy, still love this guy. He was extreme. He's a commando for Christ. I don't know how to put it. I'll never forget, we were praying. And I kind of understood this, you know, not as much now. He was in church, and he prayed. He said, God, I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you, God. I give you everything. Oh, God, just bring the afflictions on me that you brought on the Apostle Paul, because I want to serve you. And I was with him. I'm praying. We're like, and I was in my chair. And I scooted my chair away from him. I did. And I said, God, he said that. I didn't. You know, go ahead. Have at it. I didn't say that. You know, no. I don't want that. I don't want that. So anyway, the truth of that, and I think maybe God did answer his prayer. Oh my gosh. Love the brother. Now, so when we see this, now we're going to bring this to a close right here, but it's fascinating, just a couple of verses here. Now I'm going to say something. So we all go through stuff. All go through, and we go through terrible stuff. And some people just unbelievable stuff, you know. And personally, have you ever gone, and you said this, why? Why me? Why this? God, why? It doesn't make sense. See, and that's where the real suffering is too, because it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Why? Why? What I'm going to read, God's going to tell us what. Right now, he's going to tell us this is totally unfair. This is totally uncalled for. I've been totally misjudged. Lord, it's not fair. Totally. I didn't bring this on myself. Totally. Okay? Why? I'm going to share with you right here. This may be one of the greatest lessons you learn in your life. Right now, your Christian life. Right now, this is going to be one of the greatest lessons you ever learn. Now, this is between you and Jesus and what's happening, and it's going to give you understanding. Total. Are you ready? All right. Drum roll. I mean, when I need you on the drums, you need to be on the drum. No. Okay, here. Listen. Listen closely. Listen closely. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Listen closely. Indeed, like Paul says, wish I was dead. He says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. All right, listen. Listen. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The affliction was totally, totally to make you not rely on yourselves, but on God. That's why the affliction came. There it is. There it is. Okay, God, I know what you're doing. Okay, God. We cry out, why? Why? And God says, this is why, to make you not rely on yourself, but on God who raises the dead. You're still relying on yourself. You're still not trusting me. You say you know me, but you don't know me to the depths I want you to know. And I know no other way to get you there than to bring you through affliction. When your whole life falls apart and there is nothing to hold on to, then you'll say, God, I can't. You won't rely on yourself, but only on God. Amen? That's what it is. That's the answer. I'm going to share something, and it's like that's had from like salvation in our walk with God. It's the same way. And I've shared my story before, not as a believer, but I think back on it so many times. Yucca Valley, high desert. If you've ever been there, like a desert experience, like Adam's song there. I love that song. You know, he built a boat in the desert. He's talking about Yucca Valley. That's what he is talking about, boats in Yucca Valley. I'm telling you. And we have to say, and I mean, without going into detail, was nothing. Crushed. No money, no car, no house, no place to live. No, it was unbelievable. And I walked out in the sands in Yucca Valley, and I'm thinking, God. And I looked up. I didn't know any place else to look, and I don't know why. I said, God, this is not fair. I'll never forget that prayer. I said, this is not fair. You've got to help me. 2 weeks, I had a car, job, money, you know, and I was so shocked. I said, God, I don't know what happened. And I said, I don't know what I did different. How did that change? It couldn't change. It was impossible. How did it change? And I was laying in bed in San Bernardino, California, and I go, God, I don't understand. And I said, the only thing I know I did different in my life, I said, God, help me. And he must have helped me. Therefore, if God helped me, I want to find out who he is. Now, while I get there, I had nothing. He said, God says, the only way I can get you there is to take everything away. It's the only way. Now, that wasn't all the time. I mean, there's several other occasions after that, several other things. But the principle was always the same. I'll take everything away. Everything. And you just, I can't. You go, now, I can do something with you. Now, I can do something with you. But it's once you took it away. And so, and I didn't know this verse, by the way. I didn't know this verse. But it really was, I remember when I read these verses, I go, oh, that's what they do. You know, it's kind of like that. But you see what I'm saying? But what it is, it's teaching us everything we know. We're crying out, God, why God? One of the first things, so you trust him, not rely on yourselves. Well, I will help God. How many of us in here are God helpers? How many are God helpers? Okay, I help. You know, I get that. God, I'll show it. Oh, God, you'll be so pleased with me. You know, I'll even give you the credit for it. You know, he goes, geez. You know, see, but he goes, no, I don't want it. He says, I don't want any God helpers. I don't want that. I want people that don't rely on themselves, but rely on God. Because, see, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Just so clear right here. So clear. God will bring things into our life to train us and to prove that our faith is genuine. Just as he stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He said, I'm going to prove your faith is genuine. You know, I can say, well, I have faith to do this. I say, we'll see. No, I don't say it. God says, we'll see if you have faith to do this. What I usually do when I say I have faith to do this, I get into it and say, God, you did this on purpose. Why did you get me out of this, Lord? Why did you let this happen? You see what I'm saying? It's amazing. So here we are. This is where it's starting off in 2 Corinthians. He's going to prove our faith genuine. He's going to prove it. And he wants to prove it genuine. And his view of genuine is a little different than our view of genuine. You know, it's an absolute trust in him. And it comes with a loving compassion. And I just say this because it's a truth. And it comes with a loving compassion because you have been hurt. Because you have been hurt. If you hadn't been hurt, you don't even know what compassion is. See, God goes, I'll teach you compassion. I'll teach you compassion. And then just say, all right, God, it's just me and you. I trust you. Nobody else walking to you, you know. And it's a growth and excitement in God. Are you worried about? No, I'm not so worried about this. You worried about? I'm not so worried about that. You worried? No, I'm not so worried. I just want Jesus. All right. You're teaching me to comfort others. Gosh. All right. You know, and I have that capacity. He said, good, you're doing what I'm doing. Now, I will work things around you the way I want to work them out. But I had to hurt you deeply to use you greatly. It's just 10. I'm telling you, he has to hurt you deeply to use you greatly. He's close to the brokenhearted. Listen. If you've never been brokenhearted, it's biblical. So get ready. I'm just telling you. Okay? And God said, I'm going to move because I'm going to do great things. I'm going to do great things with you. So, now we have here, Jesus made us righteous, but he continues to teach us and comfort us in this life. He made us righteous, okay? So none of this is to make us righteous. It's just to teach us to trust him. He said, hey, you're righteous. We did that. Boom. Did it. He did it on the cross. We're righteous. Totally righteous. Have a home in heaven. But what I want to do, I want to teach you a few things. I need to teach you a few things, okay? And I want you to be able to comfort other people. I want you to, you know, be able to, you know, rely on me and trust me. But we are righteous. We are forgiven. And so 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, righteousness of God. Hey, my brothers, my children, now I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you to do great things. I'm going to teach you to do great things. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, oh my goodness, you're working. You know, we sit here and, you know, we think you're not working because things are going wrong. And the fact is, you are working because things are going wrong. That you are moving in to do what you want to do. You want us to depend on you, not the circumstances around us. Not even to be afraid of the circumstances around us, because you're on our side. You're on our side, and you want us to look to you and do what you say, because you're on our side, and you're going to do a mighty work. You just have to affliction. You just have to use affliction to teach us. To teach us. And as you some know, sometimes, you know, one thing about affliction, you get better or you get bitter. I'm telling you, one thing about affliction, you get better or you get bitter. Lord, we just love you. That you care for us. And you've taught us all to bring us here today. You've taught us all. And we give thanks to you. And we want you to continue to teach us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.